Welcome. Great to be able to share with you today. We are continuing today our series called Finding Financial Freedom, Defeating the Giant of Debt. Last week I shared that in order to beat debt, we must master our money or our money will master us. How do you do this? How do we take control of our finances, especially when they are already out of control? I want to start off by sharing a story. I must admit that I'm not much of a shopper. I only go shopping when I have a specific item I want or I need. Now, I grew up in the advent of the big mall, where they had every store in one place. I mean, the mall was the place to go not only for shopping, but to meet your friends, eat in the food court, do all sorts of fun things. Never, though, did I feel like going to the mall just to go to a few stores or look around. I know some people enjoy that. See, when it comes to shopping, you have to understand this. I'm more of a hunter. What does that mean? Once I know what I need, I will hunt down the item, purchase it, and then I will leave the mall until another day of hunting is needed. Well, that is unless there's an Orange Julius. I'll probably hit that because I just think it's awesome. Now, before smartphones, if you went to a new mall and did not know where the store was located, you'd go to the mall map located in a central location. And on the map would be a listing of all the stores. As well, there would be a big dot or an arrow marking where you were at in the mall. And then you would know where you were at and where you needed to go. See, to make changes in our lives, we need to know where we are in relation to where we desire to be. At the beginning of the book of Joshua, we have the story of the children of Israel as they were about to cross the Jordan River, heading to the land that God had promised them. For 40 years, they had wandered in the desert, going by familiar territory over and over again, looking at the same mountains, the same rocks, even the same cacti. But now they were going to someplace new, a place that held promise and provision, a place they had never been before. In Joshua chapter 3, verse 1, and the beginning of verse 4, it says this: early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites went out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. For many here today, going from the place that you are financially to the place of financial peace, dare I say prosperity, is a place many of you have never been before. You see, we have familiar habits, mindsets, attitudes that we have towards money that are more comfortable but yet have not brought you the freedom that you want. As we begin this journey together, you may feel discomfort and maybe even stumble a bit as you commit to change. I want you to know that is okay and it is normal. You see, with a good plan and God's grace, the giant of debt can and will be defeated. So where are we and where do we begin? Proverbs chapter 22, verse 7 makes this declaration: just as the rich rule over the poor, so the borrower is servant to the lender. Again, I say this, either you will master your money or your money will master you. See, when we are in debt, we become slave to whoever loans us the money. Whether it's a parent, a credit card, a bank, a financing company, when we borrow money from them, we become indebted to them and to the terms of the agreement for which they gave the money. Basically, they say, you will pay this amount on this date for as long as you have this debt. You see, when we do not fulfill our end of the deal, they have the right to hound us, harass us, and eventually even take our stuff. You see, when you borrow money from a family member or a friend, it literally changes the relationship. Meals, family gatherings, Christmas dinners, they just begin to taste differently. You see, when your finances are tight, you avoid people because you know that you owe them some money. And when people owe us money, we begin to judge them and look at them differently. We look at all of their purchases, especially when they're behind on a payment. Well, why did they go there for that vacation? How come they couldn't pay me back, but they could go to Cuba or that new car? How did they make that work, but yet they can't pay me back? You see, it just adds strain to that those relationships. So this is where I want to remind you today that debt is not your friend. You must understand that debt is not a friend to you. Is there such a thing as good debt, some of you might be asking? Well, some would say mortgages or investment purchases are good debt. And I'll say this to you, they are much better debt, but they are still debt. You see, just like we've experienced in the last couple of years, when mortgage rates go up 2 to 3 times of what they were before, they can create great stress in our lives because the new payments can become crippling. It's being that slave to the lender. For me, if we have a mortgage, I believe this, we should pay it off as quickly as possible. And I understand that to purchase a house, most of us will probably need a mortgage. We're going to talk about that later on as well. But I want you to think about this. The safest and freest place to live is when we're debt-free. It wins every time. But that being said, I want you to understand this. We should never use debt to pay for things that go down in value. Like clothes, food at restaurants, vacations. You come up with your own thing. It could maybe even be a new car. Those things that depreciate in value, we should not use debt at any time for those purchases. Even investment lending, unless it's for a very short time, I believe this, it should be avoided. So here's what we need to do. If we're going to defeat the giant of debt, we first of all must learn to live on less than we earn. And it's easier said than done, especially if we've lived a certain way for most of our lives. You see, we must be willing to have a budget and learn to live on that budget. That's what we're going to talk about next week. You see, a budget is us telling our money where it needs to go, instead of our money dictating to us what we have to do. We take control. We make the decisions, not the other way around. But in order to take control, we need to change our behavior. Dave Ramsey says this, 80% of money problems are not because we don't have enough money, but because we have bad money habits. Money problems are serious because they tend to touch every area of our lives, our marriages, our friendships, our health, and everything in between. To defeat the giant of debt, we must first understand the principle of delayed gratification. You see, we live in a society that does not promote waiting. We call or text people and we expect them to answer us immediately. We become impatient when there's a delay at McDonald's or when we're in the drive-thru that our food wasn't ready in 5 minutes. When we call customer service, we expect answers immediately. And I believe this, even when we pray many times, we get discouraged when God doesn't answer immediately. You see, we're not accustomed to waiting for things. And the problem is not only has it created financial difficulties, but it has affected our relationships. It has caused us sometimes to lose the value of things that the scripture says we should wait for, like sex before marriage. Because if we want to have the best relationships, it requires delayed gratification. Now, one of the greatest tools for success relationally, emotionally, financially, and spiritually is self-discipline. What is self-discipline? It's the ability to do what is necessary even when it is unpleasant. To make changes in my life, including finances, will require I do what needs to be done even when it's uncomfortable. And delayed gratification is this, it's the ability to forego immediate pleasure for a more desirable reward in the future. To go where I want to go means that I will make sacrifices now for a change or a reward in the future. Here's my question. What would your life be like today if you did not have any debt, if you didn't owe anybody or any institution money? What would you be able to do today that you are not able to at the moment? What would you be able to do if you had that freedom? How do you think you would feel? I remember as a kid, even though we were poor, living in government housing and on welfare, my mom would speak to us again and again this saying, those who pay a price now will be able to play later. But those who choose to play now will pay for the rest of their lives. I had a front row seat as I watched my mom practice what she preached. She sacrificed and disciplined herself to do things that would provide for her and our and the family. First, she started as a nurse's aide, and next became a licensed practitioner nurse, an LPN. And eventually, she became an RN, slowly but surely, over the course of maybe 10 years. Later on, she finally got her Master of Healthcare Administration and was running the largest end-of-life program in Seattle before she retired. I know this, it was not easy for her, but she did it because of self-discipline. See, the foundation to financial begins with learning, first of all, how to save. It is a developing the discipline to save money for both our needs and our wants. Our goal is this, that we don't want to purchase anything until we have the money to buy it. I know for some of you this seems impossible. Developing the type of discipline that I'm talking about requires a plan, a budget, and the grace to learn. You see, building discipline requires small steps, most times even baby steps. When I started running after not running for months, I can actually go small distance in the beginning. I can just do a little bit before I'm wiped out and I'm tired. However, as I discipline myself and run more consistently, I'm able to run farther and faster for longer. So how do we defeat the giant of debt and gain financial freedom? We begin with baby steps. I love to say this plan, what I'm sharing with you is my idea, but I would be lying. The plan for finding financial freedom comes from Dave Ramsey's Peace University and his 7 baby steps. We will be offering Peace University starting on April 7th for those who are interested. There will be a sign up today at the information desk in the lobby. So what are the 7 baby steps? Well, if you look at the packet of information that was given to you today, I'm going to go through these together. First step is $1,000 in an emergency fund. Step 2 is to pay off all debt except the house, utilizing the debt snowball. Number 3 is to save 3 to 6 months of expenses in a savings account. Number 4 is to invest 15% of your household income into an RSP, a TFSA, or the like. Step 5 is saving for college, either for yourself or for your children. It's great to be able to give our kids the opportunity to go to college, possibly debt-free. Step 6 is paying off your home early. And step 7, this is where it gets really fun, is to live and give like nobody else. Why? Because you have resources. So let's start at the beginning. Let's talk about baby step 1. The first thing is to put into an emergency fund $1,000. And I'll say this, if you make under $20,000 a year, you would start with $500. Now I know this, $1,000 is not about having enough to cover all emergencies, but about building a new habit, saving. You see, saving must become a priority if we want to become debt-free. See, money is immoral. It is neither good nor evil. The love of money, though, is the source of all evil, according to 1 Timothy 6:10. So our job is to use money as a tool, not to make it something that we worship. So saving money is about learning contentment, or as we talked about earlier, delayed gratification. Once we have developed a working budget, we need to pay ourselves. You see, in a working budget, we first give to God, save for emergencies, pay our bills, attack debt, and eventually invest in our future. I say this, that wise people save money. I'll say that again, wise people save money. So step 2, baby step 2 is to pay off all of our debt besides our mortgage. Now that we have a small savings plan, we need to tackle the debt. And so we're going to talk about how using the debt snowball, understanding what it is. I want to tackle debt. I want to teach the debt snowball to you. So the debt snowball begins by listing all of your debts besides your mortgage from the smallest to the largest. For example, maybe you owe $200 to mom and dad, $350 to Worst Buy for a laptop that you bought, $1,500 for the travel visa because you have to get those points, $2,500 to big bank line of credit, $12,000 for a car loan, and here's the big one for a lot of people, $40,000 for student loans. So here's what we do. After making the minimum monthly payment on each debt as part of our budget, we will talk about that next week. You will pay X number of dollars to reducing debt. So here's what our minimum payments are for our example. Zero to mom and dad, because they say, pay this off whenever it works for you. $50 to Worst Buy. $30 to the travel Visa card, because you don't have to pay lots on these debts, just minimum payments. $75 to the line of credit, as it only requires interest to be paid. $600 to the car loan, and $500 to the student loan. And let's say you have this, you have $300 per month that you can allocate to paying down debt. You would first begin by paying $200 to mom and dad, paying off that debt, and $100 to Worst Buy for the first month. Now, some of you might be asking me, Pastor Todd, would it not be smarter to pay down the debt first with the highest interest? Great question. In theory, that would work as well. It's called actually the debt avalanche. And I'm not saying it's not a good plan, but the plan we're going to talk about today is using the debt snowball, and here's why. The reason for paying the smallest debts off first, regardless of the interest rate, is that it begins to build confidence in us as we pay down debts. Because we are emotional beings, the best way to change habits or behavior is to experience success. We are motivated by wins. When I was a salesman, they would say to us, the best time to make a sale is right after your last sale. You see, once we pay off the first debt, it motivates us to stay self-disciplined in our spending and our debt repayment plan. You see, you can apply this principle to many areas in your life. So here's what our debt would look like after the first month of following the debt snowball. Mom and dad would be paid off. Meals would be better. Life would be easier. It would be a good thing. $250 would be left to, on the Worst Buy for the laptop. $1,500 would still be on the travel Visa because we just paid a minimum payment and it basically just covered our interest. $2,500 would still remain for the bank line of credit because it's an interest-only payment. However, for the car loan, we would get $400 off of our principal that we owe because $400 of our $600 would go to paying down that debt. And our student loan would have $39,650 left. So what would we do the next month? Well, then first of all, we'd pay $250 to Worst Buy, paying off that consumer debt. And then we would pay $100 to the travel Visa card. You see, we would gain, because we had paid off the Worst Buy purchases, another $50 to pay down debt. This is why it's called the debt snowball. As we pay off each debt, we add its monthly payment to the snowball, allowing us to pay off more and more debt to the remaining balances. So here's what we would look like after 2 months. Zero to mom and dad, because it's paid off. Zero to Worst Buy, because that's paid off. Now we would owe only $1,400 on our travel Visa card, and you can see the rest in your notes. Our car loan is now only $11,000. Our student loan has gone down as well. Now, if we follow this strategy for a whole year, $455 now would be going toward the debt snowball, resulting in the remaining balances. Mom and dad would still be paid off. Worst Buy would be paid off. As well, the travel Visa would be paid off. And listen to this, we would only owe $195 on the big bank line of credit. As well, our car loan would have been reduced to $6,000, and our student loan would have $36,150 left on it. Over the course of 1 year, $4,355 would have been removed from the debt burden. However, starting with the next month, after the car loan was paid off and the big bank thing, we would now have $1,055 go towards debt reduction, as the amount of the car payment would now be added to the debt snowball. So you see, after 2 years of doing this, we would only owe $24,585. After 3 years, we would have $5,925 $1,000 of debt remaining. And after 40 months, we'd have everything completely paid off. In 40 months, $56,550 of debt would be paid off, and we would have $1,555 to go into our monthly cash flow. Listen to this. Isn't it amazing how starting with $300 a month in your first month could remove $56,550 in debt burden in just over 3 years and inject over $1,500 back into cash flow? You see, now you'd have $500 to put into savings, $500 to pay off your home mortgage or save for a mortgage. $500 could then go into a retirement account. You see, instead of paying for stuff, we are now beginning to invest in our future. So how do we make this work? Again, as I said, it will require discipline and diligence. Understand it's not a quick fix, but with a good plan and some determination, your finances will change more quickly than you realize. It will start with making a monthly budget and tracking how you spend, moving you to a place of spending less than you earn. It will require not being influenced by friends and family who have nice stuff but are broke. They own things they have not paid for. Dave Ramsey likes to say this: you must be willing to live like no one else, so later you can live and give like nobody else. You see, the goal with what I'm teaching you is not only for you to become debt-free, but to own a home and begin building wealth. If you are serious about changing the way you approach finances, I want to encourage you again to join our financial freedom class on April 7th in the afternoons. Together, we will be able in those moments to go into greater detail and personalize this information. Now, before we end, I want to share with you another way we can become debt-free more quickly. Remove the car payment. Car payments are one of the greatest wealth eliminators for individuals, especially if you buy brand new vehicles. You see, the minute we drive a new car off the lot, it loses a bare minimum 10% of its value. In 4 years, most vehicles lose 70% of their original value. It's not uncommon for individuals to owe more to the financing company than the car is worth. So here's what I'd say: unless you are close to paying off your car debt, sell your newer car and find something you can pay cash for today. You see, transportation is important, it's essential, but having a nice car until you can pay cash for it is not. Find what you can afford and save for something better. If you want to look cool, you'll not move ahead. So you need to understand this, that 80% of millionaires do not drive brand new cars ever. They let other people pay the depreciation, and then they enjoy driving nice vehicles, but not brand new vehicles. So how are we going to do this? I love what Paul writes in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. He says this: don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. You see, if you want to stay broke, go with the flow. Be like everybody else. But if you want to build wealth, be counterculture. I pray today that God will help you if you're looking for help, that God will give you encouragement. I pray that he'll give you the courage to change what needs to be changed, and that he will release to you the determination to be disciplined and diligent. I want you to know you can do this. God bless you. Amen.